Brother Ken Hampton.
Well, good morning. It's always a pleasure to be here. Good to see you. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 9, we just have one verse that we'd like to dissect. Trust it will prove profitable, especially this time of the year. You know, you need to ask yourself the question every time you come and when you leave, did I learn anything? Did I receive something? We're not here to entertain you. We're not here to cause you to be emotionally aroused, but we're here to edify you as we glorify the Lord. And if we glorify him, you will be edified by his word. We're here to build you up in the faith, that you might be assured of that inheritance among all of them that are sanctified. Isaiah 9, and most of us have cited this from memory. I know ever since I was a child, I could cite certain passages of the scripture, and certainly this was one of them. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Father, we ask your blessings upon your word. We know you have blessed it, you will bless it, you are blessing it, that our hearts might be encouraged, enriched, and challenged, and yes, rebuked, but above all, built up those of us who are saved in the faith once delivered to the saints. Grant it so. We'll love you for the results. In the precious name of him who doeth all things well, even the Lord Jesus, with much thanksgiving. Amen. Now, whenever you take a text like this text, very familiar text, or you hear someone take a text from this portion of scripture, and if they don't include 7:14 of the same book, then you know they're shortchanging you, because 9:6 flows out of 7:14. 9:6 flows out of 7:14. So we have to look at 7:14 first. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, whenever you see these words, the Lord himself shall do anything, highlight that, because it only appears three times in the scripture. First time it appears in Joshua 22, 23. And it's referencing if anyone will bring an offering that's not a burnt offering, that makes for a peace offering, the Lord himself shall require it of that person for not doing it. And that is to indicate, New Testament style, that if there's no salvation in any other, and if you bring anything else, it will not be accepted, and you will not be accepted. It goes all the way back to Cain. God didn't accept him nor his offering. And so that's the first time it appears. And obviously the next time it appears is in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. And here is where you make your reference clear and emphatic of who this Lord is in 7:14. And it's the only place in all of Scripture quite like it. And you know it by heart, but let's turn to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And nail it down. Because, you know, there are many places of scripture where we can take the Kingdom Hall people and the other cults to task regarding the deity of Christ. And by the way, that's the first place you start when you're dealing with a false religionist or you're dealing with a cult member or a sect member. Nothing else really matters until they know who he is. Whom do men say upon entering Caesarea Philippi that I, the Son of Man, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're one of the prophets. Forget all that. Whom do you say that I am? Because unless you know who he is, what he did won't mean anything to you. So let's get that straight first. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm teaching also a lesson. There's no sense in talking about this or that with a person that doesn't know the Lord. The first thing he or she needs to know is who he is. Not that he died on the cross, but who he is and was and shall forever be who died on that cross. He just wasn't an ordinary man who died on the cross. It's who he is that died on that cross that made what he did on the cross so important. So until you know who he is, what he did to you won't make any difference. That's very important to nail down. Don't assume that people know who he is, because most people, even in churches, religious churches, they don't know. All right. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 4, let's speak to this. Let's pick it up with verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. Now here it is. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Now nail that down. Because this is the same, the Lord himself in 7:14 of Isaiah, that will give you a sign concerning himself. Many people miss that. The Lord himself, that's Jehovah God, shall give you a sign that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Well, that Lord himself is the same Lord himself that shall descend from heaven. And what am I saying? I'm saying that the Father, God the Father, in 7:14, is fleshed out in God the Son, because he is the fullness, Paul tells us in Colossians, of the Godhead bodily. He's the only one that could say, when you have seen me, let's clear this matter up. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, do understand that. When you have seen me, now, don't go to the other extreme and say he is the Father, he is the Son, he is the Holy Spirit. This is the reason why clear, unadulterated, biblical teaching is important. God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. But understand this, as he explains in 7:14 here. Therefore, a virgin shall conceive. Now, in the Hebrew, it's stronger than that. It's not just a virgin. No, the virgin, because it's the only time it'll ever happen. Not just a, but the virgin shall conceive. And not just a son, but the son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And you know, that being interpreted is God with us. Now, over to 9:6. But that's important for us to nail down, that the Lord himself shall, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Not Elijah, not Moses, but the Lord himself shall give you a sign, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. In other words, when we say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, we mean that. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Who are you talking to? The Lord Jesus Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. He is the fullness of the God. He is the full expression of God. God was manifested. That means the fullness of God was manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, hey, the Jews understood it. Why do you think they took up stones to stone him three times? They knew exactly what he was saying. Not only you didn't keep the Sabbath, but you make yourself God. No, he didn't make himself God. God can't make himself anything. He is God. Make himself something. Then he said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. The only one that could say I am. You can't. I can't. We can't. Why? Because there was a time when you were not. But he could say before Abraham was. What do you mean? You're not even 50 years old. Boy, they got hot with him again. They knew exactly what he was saying. Too bad the Kingdom Hall people and the Mormons, others, don't understand. They did. The contemporaries of the Lord knew exactly what he was saying. And he didn't apologize for it either. Now back over to 9:6. Let's nail some other things down here that's been greatly misunderstood. In 9:6, catch this. For unto us, now who is the us? Well, speaking first of all to the Jews. See? He came unto his own. That's the Jews. And his own received him not. But as many of them that received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Do you know the greatest haters of the Jews are the Jews? I said the greatest people that hate themselves are the Jews. When you don't love the Lord, you don't love at all. The beginner of communism started with a Jew. You ever heard of Karl Marx? One of you shall betray me. Have I not chosen 12? One of you is a devil. Now see, this is where the Calvinist folks get off the hook. See, the Lord said, didn't I choose you 12? But the very statement answers itself. Yes, he chose Judas. He said it. But Judas never chose him. The Lord chose you too. When he said he loved the world, are you in the world? Were you born in this world? Was he not truthful to Cain when he said to Cain, if you go back and offer the right sacrifice, will you not be accepted? Even Cain couldn't deny that. You can't either. And besides that, where did free will begin? It didn't begin on earth. It began with Lucifer. When he said, I will, he had a chance to exercise his will, and he did. He said, I will, 5 times. I will, I will, I will, I will. And God, no, you won't. And you can exercise yours too and be independent of God. The Lord said to the Jews, I have come in my Father's name and you receive me not. But if another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. And so it is true. And it's the same way, not just with the Jews, but name any race. And I'll show you a great betrayer. Pol Pot, remember? He was Cambodian. He killed more of his own people, of the Cambodians, than anybody could dream of or think of or henceforth since, period. Idi Amin in Uganda. Name the race. Doesn't make any difference. It is true. It is true. Satan is no respecter of persons. And he'll use whom he will. Cain killed Abel, and both of them were from the same womb. Esau and Jacob, both of them were from the same womb. The Hutus and the Tutsis. The president has a father that was born in Africa. You wouldn't think so. When he was a senator, he said, it is a crying, sinful shame that the president will not intervene in Sudan, not intervene in Ethiopia with what's going on there. And yet now he's president, and he's done less than Bush did, than Clinton did. Satan uses whom he wills. Notice this. For the Lord, for unto us, that's to the Jews. That the application is to us. But first he came unto his own, for unto us a child is born. And Matthew fleshes this all out. And that's the reason why that's the Jewish gospel. Matthew is. He speaks to the Jews first. Why? Because it's to the Jew first. And then just think for a moment. He would use Matthew, of all people, a hater of his people, a betrayer of his people. He pimped his people by being an associate of the Roman government to collect taxes from his own people. That's the reason why tax collectors were barred out of the synagogue. Because you are allowing the Jews to use you against your own people. Yes! And yet he saved Matthew. Tells us what? He can save to the uttermost those who will come to God by him. Now they're going to have a between now and next Sunday, they're going to have, the world is going to celebrate the passing of Nelson Mandela. And I put his passing in the context of what the Lord said. The children of this world and their generation are wiser than the children of light. And that's in the context of the unjust steward that the Lord spoke about in Luke. Now, what is the lesson to be learned there? Nelson Mandela was a Marxist. He wasn't a Christian. And yet there are those who will make him one, regardless of his own convictions about it, nevertheless. And you're going to hear a lot of grandiose things that are simply not true regarding the spiritual. But listen to what the Lord said concerning the unjust steward. When he found out that he was getting put out of his stewardship because he hadn't managed his Lord's money well, he thought within himself, man, I better go out and collect some rent in advance from these people and make them think I'm giving them a deal. How much do you owe your Lord? Under, make it 50. How much do you owe him? Cut that in half. Boy, they'll think this guy's swell. Look, he's giving us a deal. No, he's still a rascal. He's still unjust. He was an unjust steward to his master. He's an unjust steward to you. Can't you see what's happening here? And he said the children of this world system are wiser than the children of light. Why? Because they make preparations to go before their earthly masters. And if you notice, the Lord that is used there is small L. He's not talking about the Lord of glory. And he's commending the unjust steward for being wise in this world, in using this world system to his own advantage. And Nelson Mandela used this world system to his own advantage. But you have to give him credit. You have to salute him. What man would go to prison for 27 years who could have gotten out? That's the story you're not going to hear either. He didn't have to stay 27 years. He didn't have to stay 27 days. Why did he stay? Because he wouldn't renounce violence to overthrow the government. And then F.D. Leclerc, after the end of it, said, well, come on out anyway. And he said he wouldn't, but he did in the end. He didn't denounce it. And because of that, 3 years later, he became president of South Africa. And the first thing he did was invite his jailers to come and sit with him on the platform when he took the oath of office. And he said, I'll only run one term. Can you see Clinton running one term? Can you see this president stepping aside? That's the reason why I like the English parliamentary system. When popularity of a president or a leader or the prime minister gets so low, they have a vote of what they call no confidence. That's what they need in the Constitution. If there was something that they should legislate for, it should be that. They should amend the Constitution because three more years of this, they say, can we endure 3 more years of this president? No, can the country endure 3 more years? And that's why the no confidence vote is in the parliamentary procedures in England. Take a vote and see if we'll go up or down, or this one will stay or go. I really can appreciate that because a lot of damage can be done in 3 years or 4 years. But Nelson Mandela said, no, just one term. Nobody in prison, a 10-by-cell prison, they would grow bitter, not better, and it would break the average man. He said, no, just one term, and I'm out of here. And he went back to the same place he came from, humble beginnings, never took advantage of the money or the people or the power or the perks or the privileges. Now, that is commendable. And that's why the Lord said the children of this world and their generation, they know how to work this system to their benefit. And that's why the world loves its own. They celebrate him. Why? Because he's of the world. He speaks of the world. Bishop Tutu speaks of the world. And the world loves him. The world hears him. The world hears its own. They don't hear us. Charles Stanley, when they were having the civil rights movement, he stood in the door to make sure blacks could not come in. He was 6'6", and they put him at the door. He was assistant pastor of the church that he's now pastor of. And to make sure blacks would not come in. Not even come in. He since apologized. But even then, the children of the world were wiser than the children of light. Because maybe had the church stood up at that time and said, this is wrong. Why did the world have to lead the way and not the church? Because whenever the light goes out in the temple, when Eli was lying down, that's when the light went out. And his boys were making havoc throughout the church. Then the light went out in the temple, then when it went out in Israel. And it's always that way. When the light goes out in the churches in Detroit, the 4,000 churches, most of the churches, the lights have long since gone out. Friday, we had grace in our youth center, our gymnasium, filled with tea parties. 300 people at least. Rand Paul was there. And I gave out a nice little booklet. Christ died for them too. A nice little booklet for every one of them. As I led in prayer to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus. And I made sure he got one of them, you see. The Lord died for him too. Chief Burchard was there. They were all there. See, I don't pick them. I catch my fish where I find them. Bring them in, clean them up. But you can't catch them in the bathtub. You got to go out there to get them. And even they, and I have to give them credit. I have to give them credit. The first thing they did, they said, let's stand and have a moment of silence for the memory of Nelson Mandela. Now, this is the Tea Party. I didn't hear any black churches say this or do this yet. This is the Tea Party people, all the chieftains of the party. Let's stand. I didn't ask for it. They didn't do me no favors. And let's have a moment of silence in respect. I was at William Tyndale College the day that Dr. King was assassinated, and they knew it. They should have said, let's have a time of silence and let's pray for it. They were burning the place down in many parts. The children of this world. I mean, are you just going to overlook what has happened here? Don't you recognize what's going on out here? It was business as usual. No sensitivity at all. The Lord said, the children of this world. Now they all celebrate. Dr. King. But where were you at the time? No, we didn't necessarily agree with everything he said or did. But at least he was making a difference, a righteous difference that the church should have been making. When Andrew Goodman and George Schwerner went down to Mississippi to join James Cheney, those three civil rights boys, that's what really kicked off the modern-day civil rights movement. But look what it took. It took Jews to do it. When they were assassinated, when they found their bodies, oh, well, then J. Edgar Hoover, he sent the troops down. He sent people down there, and they got a hold of that main Klansman. They took him back out in the woods, and when they got through with him, he was glad to tell what happened. And that's exactly what happened. They did it the old-fashioned way. But where's the church? Where's the voice of God through his people? Silent. One of the people said as they were leaving Friday, saying, do you fear being targeted? I said, fear being targeted? I'm already targeted by the Lord. He watches over me by day and by night. If he doesn't take care of me, it doesn't make any difference what you do or say. The children of this world are wiser than the children of light. If they would see a difference in us, maybe there would be a difference in them. Notice this. Unto us a child is born. Didn't make any difference. Unto us and a son is given. Now notice this. The child born, get this, Bethlehem. See? Son given, John 3:16. Child born, son given. That's the Father, that's the Son. And, get this, the government shall be upon his shoulders. And that's going to come to pass. When the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of God and his Christ, that will take place, Revelation 11:15. And notice this, his name shall be called Wonderful. And in the Hebrew, it's not wonderful apart from counselor, it's together. Wonderful Counselor. He is the only one that has and can have and will always have a shingle outside of his office indicating Wonderful Counselor. Now, there are attorneys, there are psychologists and psychiatrists that have counselor. They are counselors. They're in the counseling business. But if you ever come to one and he has a wonderful counselor out there, don't go there. He's the only one that retains the title, Wonderful Counselor. Now, get the definite articles coming up here. It's not the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It's all three. And preceding all three, it is the mighty God. Now, who are you talking about? You're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mighty God. Revelation 1:8 tells you that. He's the same person. The mighty God. You can't get beyond him. You can't get under him. You certainly can't go through him. He is the, not a, the mighty God. The everlasting Father. Now, Here's where people get hung up on this everlasting Father. What does this mean? Let me tell you what it means. Because the question may arise as, how can the Son also be the everlasting Father? And really, the better translation is that he is the Father of eternity. Everything God is, he is. That's what it means by him being. If God is, so is the Lord Jesus Christ. If he is, and Father means from eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord Jesus is also. And that's what it means in the dateless past. In the beginning was the, how far you want to go back? The Lord Jesus said, I'll meet you there. That's what it means. I'm the Father of eternity. I'm the creator of time. That's what it means. The everlasting Father in that sense. He's not God the Father. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But you need to be clear about what you're saying when it says here that he is the everlasting Father. That means he is the creator of all. Colossians says, before was, he was. Because he, by him all things consist. And by him all things exist. What he means. And before him there was nothing made that was made. And then it says, the Prince of Peace, the Eternal Son, John 1:1, the Creator of all things, Colossians 1:16, the Eternal Father, I and my Father are. You can say it, church. It won't hurt. They won't put you out. I and my Father are one. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. All you'll ever see of the Father is what you see in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means. John 10:30. I and my Father are one. Now, sometimes people see me and they say, boy, your son looks just like you. And I say, fine, but he is not me. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, he is not just like the Father. When you see him, you have seen the Father. That is the full expression of the Godhead bodily. And we need, great is the mystery of godliness. God was, that means God, the Father, was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentile, received up into glory. We have to be careful who we're dealing with here. He is God, very God. And then he is the Prince of Peace. This indicates that he is the first and only leader who ever touched this teraphim who really deserves to have the ultimate Nobel Peace Prize. We've had men that received the so-called Nobel Peace, and it's worse than ever. No peace. Dr. King received the Nobel Peace Prize. No peace. It's worse than ever on blacks and whites. Now they've got what they call the knockout game, the knockout game. Now, if the president was right and righteous regarding this, just like he stepped in on Trayvon Martin, had a little tea summit when this thing went haywire in Boston with one of his professors and the police, now is the time to step in, show leadership, and say, this cannot be. This has to stop. You don't cold cock people based, mainly they started in New York with the Jews, but you don't do that. If there ever was a race hate crime, that's got to be it. And it's going to stop. And commission Attorney General Eric Holder, who is worthless, to do your job, man. This has to shut down yesterday. But it won't happen. Because we are a leaderless nation, sad to say. God is not the author of confusion, but he and he alone deserves the ultimate peace prize. But there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And not only is he the Prince of Peace, but Genesis 14:18, concerning Melchizedek, who many believe was the pre-incarnate Christ, he is the King of Peace. And you can't have peace on earth and goodwill toward man unless you celebrate and appreciate the Prince of Peace and the King of Peace and the one who made peace by the blood of his cross. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. You want peace? Well, you got to have peace with God before you can have peace of God and from God. You got to have peace with him. Understanding what Paul says is true. I am crucified with him. In other words, when I look at that cross, I look at a man who was dying for me. And that man was no ordinary man, because no ordinary man could die for me. No ordinary man could shed his blood for me. And no ordinary man could separate me from God. But he won't. Why? Because I trusted him. And I believe him and I trust him. So he made the ultimate peace, Colossians 1:20, by the blood at Calvary. So you want peace? You want peace? But then look into the face of the Prince of Peace. You want peace? And come to him, him alone, who is our peace. And you'll find refuge. You'll find safety. You'll find joy right there, as you'll find in no other. The Lord Jesus is our peace. Come, come, come. Let's do an acrostic with that come. Come. See. Children can come. That's why I started in ministry with children. Then I went on to the prisons, spoke with them, not knowing what the Lord would ultimately do. But I still have a heartbeat for prisoners. Still have a heartbeat for children. When I was on the police department, I was assigned to the youth bureau, working with children. I adopted Children's Hospital, the oncology ward. And that's where I took my little demonstration with my ventriloquist there first. Why? Because some of those kids wouldn't see Christmas. Bring a little sunshine to them. That's what the Lord said. The only time he rebuked his disciples when they forbid the children, don't do that. And he didn't say suffer the children to come unto me. He said suffer the little children. That means the toddlers. They'll come. If we'll come, they'll come. Come! Children see. Old people too. Oh yes. We reach them all here at Curtis. Old. And then M. Middle age. You say, I'm not a child. I'm not old. I'm middle. Well, that's for you too. Come. You can come too. And then E. In case we left anybody out, everybody can come. Everybody can come. You see, not all preachers in all chapels can say that. It's, you know, the guy that's on the edge, the guy that says, well, man, like the guy that came to Grace get some food here a couple weeks ago. He said, man, I just got out of prison. I had a terrible record. I said, you want a clean slate? Yes, I said, you came to the right man. You came to the right place. You want a clean slate? You want all of that history to be washed away, forgiven, forgotten, just as if it never happened? Yeah, I said, you at the right place. Then he said this, and I have to tell you the truth. He said, oh, don't tell me anything about that Bible. He said, I got a degree in theology. I said, oh, really? Really? I said, give me the first 10 books of the Bible. He said, Genesis, Leviticus. I said, stop right there. He said, you don't have to know the books of the Bible in order to know God. I said, you brought it up. You the one told me you had a degree in theology. I was just testing you. I say, listen, son, let me tell you this. I say, I'm old enough to be your father. I say, you came to us. We didn't come to you, but you were sent by God to get spiritual help. We're going to give you the food, but you are sent here to get spiritual help. And if you listen, you'll leave out that door different than you came in. Long story short, we had a Thanksgiving meeting, as we always do. And the place was filled with people, not from Grace Bible Chapel. I got out of it was maybe 15, would you say, my wife, I'll tell you. Maybe 15 at the best, 20. All the rest filled the pews was from the neighborhood, from the neighborhood. And he was among them. And he was a different person Thanksgiving than he was when he stood in the lobby telling me who he was. And he didn't need to have anybody tell him anything. He was a different person because he listened. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, we give thanks for your word. It's forever settled in heaven. Cause it to be forever settled in each of our hearts. That we'll live by it, that we'll die by it, but we'll never compromise it. Thank you for Curtis Gospel Chapel. Continue to make its banner wave for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the sweet memories of those who have preceded us, even in this place, we give thanks, knowing we're standing on their shoulders and in their shadows. Continue to bless the elders here and the people that this assembly makes up. Grant it so. May their best days, weeks, and months and years be yet ahead of them for Christ's sake. Amen.